This is Let's Talk Business with your host, Mark Ebinger. Now, here's Mark.
Welcome to Let's Talk Business, a show that highlights and promotes entrepreneurs to learn more about their vision, goals, and marketing strategy. Coming up on the show today, we're going to talk about running a successful residential painting company. In studio with us today is Jesse Gunstream, the owner of Lime Painting of the Hill Country. Jesse, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Mark, for having me.
First timer, and your shirt definitely speaks to lime painting.
It is a very lime shirt.
It is, right? All right, I'm your host, Mark Ebinger, the owner of Krukus Virtual Staffing, a company that specializes in providing remote staffing solutions for small to medium-sized businesses looking to save $20,000 or more in payroll by hiring skilled English-speaking professionals from the Philippines and Latin America.
And I am Heather Baim, owner of Onset Professional Development. We turn small business owners' should-do lists into will-do lists through in-person facilitated workshops backed by certified business coaching.
And I'm Howie Nestel, the owner of Sharkmatic Advertising. Our color is also lime green, but I'm not wearing the shirt to prove it. We've been in marketing now for 30 years, so before there was internet, but we specialize in graphic design, web design, and search engine optimization, and we can help your website be found by prospects online.
A quick reminder to follow the Let's Talk Business podcast on all major podcast platforms and social media, where you can catch video versions of the show. You can get to everything easily from our website at satalkradio.com. Now, if you're going to be in the San Antonio area on Thursday, May 16th, be sure to join us at the Let's Talk Business Mega Mixer. We're expecting 150 local business owners and entrepreneurs on site to mix, mingle, and connect with each other to do more business. Huge success last time. Last time we supported the Children's Rehabilitation Institute, Teleton USA, which we gave them like over $1,700 on a check from ticket sales. And how you want to tell them about the nonprofit we're supporting on this next one?
Yeah, so the 150 people who attend this coming time will do what the last ones did. They pay $10 at the door. Actually, they pay $10 in advance. There may not be at the door because we're probably going to sell out. And those $10 are going to then be donated to Discovery Camps, a camp for kids battling cancer. I've been fortunate to be on the board with them for almost 20 years. The organization's been around for 40, and they take kids who are battling cancer on these forever experiences, like a sleepaway summer camp, in-hospital camp here in San Antonio. And all the kids that attend it are either local or regional. It's a great organization going on their 40th year, and they creating these forever experiences for these children. And it's quite amazing. And I love the fact that we have sponsors that support the nonprofit, I mean, the Mega Mixer, so that all the ticket sales can be given to these great nonprofits locally.
Absolutely. And speaking of sponsors, the way we're able to donate all those ticket sales to the nonprofit is because of our sponsors. And we wanted to give a quick shout out to Erica Banda and Casa Banda Events for being a gold sponsor at the upcoming Let's Talk Business Mega Mixer on May 16th. Erica and her team organize high quality weddings and corporate events to suit your needs. If you'd like Erica to help organize your next event, reach out to her at 210-778-2848. That's 210-778-2848, because event planning is a logistical nightmare.
It is. No, it's no
and
joke.
The sponsors, by the way, pay for the food and booze that you're going to be drinking. So mm-hmm. That $10, I mean, you're going to get it right back in food. Mark estimated that if you have two margaritas, you already made your money back.
Yeah, because we go to a mixers, and I'll spend, let's say I get two margaritas, I'll spend $30 to $40. 47 was the last one at the BPSA one that we went to. $47 I spent on two margaritas. Well, actually, no, I bought a drink for Steven Sanchez with Texas Suits. He and I got this thing. Right. We're going back and forth buying each other drinks. But at any rate, $47, and that's in addition to the $10 a ticket. So at our mixer, $10, and you get two margaritas and plenty of food while you're there. So anyway, I lead with value, right? Givers give mentality.
That's right.
Rock on.
We should probably talk about the fact that a lot of the people that attended last time actually ended up doing business with each other, mm-hmm. which is quite – that's the whole idea behind a mixer, right, is so mm-hmm. that you meet somebody you can do business with. And that you can't say that about every mixer you go to, but you can certainly mm-hmm. say that about the Let's Talk Business podcast mega mixers, because we're making sure the hosts make sure that you get to meet quality people while you're there.
That's exactly right. I wanted to do something a little bit different in how we approach a mixer as the hosts of the mixer. Hey, let's get in there and let's mix it up and make sure that we, connect people.
Well, and to that point, we have an entire episode where it was just me, Howie, Kian, and Genevieve, and we just talked about how to network at a high level and some tips and tricks. So maybe we can pin that or something for the next few weeks as we approach the mixer. That way people who are interested in it and want to see how they can get the most value can...
Yeah, because there is a science to networking. Mm-hmm. It's not an art. It's not as, well, I just don't like people. I just don't know how to meet people. It's not the same as going to a high school party and you feel awkward. This is really, I mean, everybody's there to meet somebody to do business with. Mm-hmm. And you're there for the same reason. And we help facilitate it. And these tips are great, really, about how to really network at a high level and get a lot out of it and give as well.
It really helps when the hosts are actively connecting people to people. Because it eliminates that, you know, that wallflower mentality that can happen where people are just kind of standing off to the side. I actually observed it a couple of times on the last one, and I went up and I'm like, well, who are you looking to connect with? And I just actually, hey, come over here, and I introduce them to people. And they actually went away with a much better attitude. And when that energy is going on in a mixer room, it's just more and more and more of it happens.
Yeah, I like to connect people at the beginning, and then I look for them later on, and a lot of times they're still talking. You know,
well, they need to break it up. All right, let's just
see.
We're not
I see
dating
it more
here.
As like cookie dough when you scrape the edges and dunk them in the middle, and then they get mixed in.
Yeah, but we're in San Antonio. Analogy. I see it more like as the burnt rice along the pan.
Okay.
All right, whatever. So, speaking of networking, I do a lot of stuff on LinkedIn right now. I mean, I'm actively, you know, digging in on LinkedIn, making lots of connections locally and nationally. So I want to give a quick shout out to a couple of new connections that I've made. Matthew Zarola, the owner of Real Home Inspections here in San Antonio, and to Chad King, the vice president of Ayoka Systems, a software development company. So I'm excited to connect with you guys and see how we can help each other's business grow. All right, Jesse, so you have a franchise with Lime Painting. So give me a little bit of background that, you know, professional background that led you to where you're at with a Lime Painting franchise.
Sure. So most of my professional background prior to Lime Painting was in operations management. I did 7 years in the Marine Corps. I did my undergraduate in management when I was there. And when I got out of the service, I went to work for AT&T. I did leadership for teams of wireline guys, telephony, fiber optics, copper plant. I also did some work on new product launch in San Antonio. So I was responsible for the training and development to bring gigabit internet to the San Antonio market. And then towards the end, I filled a sort of a chief of staff role for the southern half of Texas. So Austin, San Antonio, Corpus, and the Valley were our major markets. And in my last 2 years there, I went to work. I went back to school, went to Austin to get my MBA. And I met a classmate there who also lived in San Antonio. We carpooled every day. And he said, I think you would be a really great fit for operations management at Amazon. And so I left AT&T. I went to Amazon. And shortly after I joined, COVID hit. And Amazon became a really interesting place to work. And that kind of began the transition of my wife and I wanting to move into owning something of our own. My wife is a 19-year paramedic, so she had an interesting COVID experience as well. And I think between the two of us, the kind of the troubles and the trials and the tribulations associated with our careers in that point made us want to branch out and do something of our own. And that's really ultimately how we ended up at Lime Painting is I think so much of our careers, which had been based on relationship building, became very transactional. Social distancing changed the way that we manage teams in a live work environment. Patient care, I think, largely became triage and transport for my wife, which was very different than what she was accustomed to. And we just wanted to build something of our own, and we wanted to get back into some sort of an industry or experience where we could build real relationships with people again. And that's kind of what directed us to Lime.
Okay, so how did that connection with Lime actually happen? Were you at an expo or something and saw them, or how did that connection get made?
Yeah, so in 2021, we decided that we wanted to start looking into launching something of our own. And we met with a franchise consultant who pointed us to a couple of industries. They said basically, you know, in franchising, most of your successful models work in home services or restaurants. That's kind of the reality. And we said, well, we don't want to own a restaurant. It's never been a dream or a vision of ours. So point us to opportunities in home service that you think might be a good fit for us. And we looked at three different industries, four different companies. Lime ended up being the one that we landed on.
What were the other industries you looked at?
So we looked at pest control and a more mosquito abatement. Mm-hmm. And then we looked at junk removal.
Oh.
Yep.
Did you consider starting another business from scratch that's not a franchise? And because I always, you know, before, I mean, a franchise has been around for a while, but I find most people have this idea that they want to start a business and it's got to be something that they either have a talent in or whatever. So obviously it doesn't sound like you guys love painting your own house and that's why you chose the industry. But did you consider starting some business that was not a franchise?
Yes, we actually, we disqualified two industries, one of them based on the fact that we didn't think you needed a franchise to launch something like that. And that was junk removal, you know, it seems like the support that you get in order to launch that franchise, and not to discredit anyone that has one of those franchise systems, we thought if we wanted to do that, we could probably build that from the ground up. Mosquito abatement, at the time that we were looking, we had come out of like 92 straight days of over 100 degree weather, and there was, I don't think there'd been a drop of rain north of Beeville in 4 months, and we just said, there's some seasonality concerns associated with this for us. And so the last two companies that we were looking at were both paint companies. And I think paint franchise systems are really great for, because there's a lot about that industry that you, if you don't have some trade experience and some knowledge and background, you can really wander into an area that you're uncomfortable with without some good guidance from people that have been there before. And so I think that industry in particular, franchise systems, are probably really good for.
Okay, you got to dig a little bit more into that. And I want to know, why did you pull the trigger with Lime versus the other one?
Sure. So in terms of industry knowledge, launching a painting franchise meant needing to find subcontractors and having like a proven system for vetting people that are high quality, that actually know what they're doing, that aren't just shooting you a line of how awesome and professional and great they are at painting residential and commercial properties. And Lime had a really good system for vetting those. Understanding what really are the best products and processes to use in all the different parts of a home or a business that can be painted. And Lime focuses on, you know, high-end luxury homes. And so there's a lot of substrates and a lot of different processes and products that you could apply in those situations. Between Lime and the other franchise opportunity, one, we were navigating that the other opportunity was a resale. And there were some concerns in that due diligence process when we worked through looking at that resale. Really, we ended up landing on Lime because they have a set of core values and they have a leadership team that I think really makes itself available to the franchise owners and wants to see their people succeed. I think something that's hard to quantify. It's a kind of a qualitative trait about the leadership team at Lime, and Lime is out of Denver. But you know, when you connect with people that you can get along with and that feel like home, and that's what we got with the Lime leadership team.
Now, here's a question I have, because I run into a lot of franchise owners who they expected one thing and they're getting something else. What are some of the things that popped up that you had no idea were considerations after you started?
I think sales generation in painting, I think if we could redo things and say, you know, completely scrap what we're doing right now and just do it all over again, we would find something with more residual income. Mm. I think, you know, when it comes to painting houses, there's just not a lot of opportunity to have ongoing sales where it's like, you know, every 6 months you pay us and we come back and service your paint.
So more of a recurring revenue model.
Correct.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I wanted to clarify.
You know, when I was little rabbit trail here, when I was looking to start my company, there was two big things. You need cash up front and you need recurring revenue. That's what I wanted to build. So
yeah. Every painting sale is like you're starting from scratch, building a relationship with a customer. That may turn into more opportunities a year or two down the road. You paint someone's outside, you do a great job, and they love you, and they want you to come back, but it's not residual, recurring, ongoing income.
There's no paintenance.
That's an amazing term. If you figure out how to build a maintenance model.
I just registered the domain name. Now we have to figure out how to monetize.
Maybe if you figure out like an exterior seal that can preserve the paint through the summers, like if you put like a top coat for nail polish, you know?
No, he doesn't know.
Yeah.
Well, so nail polish, you do the color, and then you do the top coat, and the top coat's what protects the color from the scuffs and the scratches. So my thought is like with our summers, if you could do like a top coat for paint that can be reapplied for way cheaper on a, you know, semi-annual basis.
Isn't it the labor cost is the high thing? And it's not the paint.
Paint is ultimately a top coat. Like, it is the protectant.
Yeah. You know? Well, and but now paint's expensive as all get out, too. They probably get a better deal.
The good
stuff
is expensive. Here's
the other thing, though, to kind of follow up on Heather's question. One of the things I run into a lot, probably because I own an ad agency, is, hey, I own a franchise, and they're supposed to do all this stuff. I'm paying all this money in for marketing, and I'm not getting any leads. All they're doing is promoting the franchise or the franchisor to sell more franchises. And I don't know, nothing's really converting. Is there anything you can do to help me? So how has the marketing been?
Yeah, it's actually, when I say I feel like Lime is a corporate group that actually cares about the success of their franchisees. A little over a year ago, many of the franchise owners, including myself, were complaining to Lime that our SEO team was not very effective, that we had issues with our website, that we weren't generating organic leads. We could generate PPC leads, right? I mean, that's what it's there for, but you want to eventually get to a point where you're not paying to buy every lead that you get. And they made a change. They got rid of the team that was there. They gave us a list of three options that they had vetted. We kind of talked through pricing points as an organization across the country. And, you know, Lime's in 25, I think, markets right now. So ultimately, the franchisor makes the decision on what they're going to do and who they're going to go with. But they really did a good job of allowing everyone within the company to vet who the replacement organization was. And I know for our location, things have been tremendously better since the change. We still run PPC ads. We still need to, right? But we pull organic leads as well. We have good tracking on where our ranking is in the markets that we're most interested in working and how we're improving and the way that we're trending. And so, yeah, I think you're right. Like the old system that was in place with Lime, with the old SEO team, I think Lime outgrew their ability to provide the quality of service that we need. And so it's an organization that in the last, you know, 3 or 4 years went from 6 or 8 locations to over 20, and they didn't scale their people in accordance with the way that Lime scaled its people. And now the number of devs and SEO specialists that they had couldn't satisfy the demand that the company was placing on.
Then these are all good points for our listeners to pay attention to, especially if they're going to start a business, because the statistics show that franchise businesses tend to do better than non-franchise businesses. But sometimes franchise businesses either get to top out faster than an individual business in terms of revenue, because they might sell several franchises in a particular market. And there's restrictions. So I've done work for some Harley dealerships, and they have to stick to their ADI, their area of dominant influence. They can't advertise outside of that. They can sell somewhere else, but they can't market anywhere else. And so you sometimes limit your upside. But the recurring revenue is an important one. Overall, how do you feel about having made the decision of going with a franchise business versus starting something from scratch?
Yeah, pros and cons, right? It's easy to look back 2 years down the road, having gained 2 years of industry knowledge, and go, I don't know how much I need them anymore, right? But I don't know that we would have had any success these last 2 years had it not been for them providing us with the things that they did in order to successfully launch. So, you know, the thing about franchise systems, you give a percentage of your profit over to your franchisor every time that you close a transaction. And now I think, like, we could be pretty well self-sufficient, self-contained.
But they've got to, right? I mean, you're worried. So how do you feel about that?
You know, most days we're pretty okay with it, right?
Like most days. So there's some days we're not okay with it.
There's some days where you go, right, I really wish I had that percentage. There's some addendums, right? It makes it more difficult for you to be cost competitive than someone else, right? Like there's a margin that I have to apply to a transaction before I ever make a cut in order to get to a point where, you know, the customer wants to do business with us and we still have some upside as a business owner. So, you know, there are some pain points associated with it. At the same time, the way that we conduct ourselves and do business as a result of, you know, the information and the experiences that have been imparted on us by Lime's corporate team make us a very different presentation than most paint companies, and there's some upside to that as well.
Well, how does Lime Painting continue to provide enough value to the franchisees so that the franchisees feel like, okay, I'm getting my money's worth?
I wouldn't say that all franchisors do, right? Like there is definitely some attrition within the franchise space.
But how does Lime Painting delivering that value for you so that you feel like, hey, all right, cool, I don't mind paying a royalty fee as we go along?
I think ongoing support in terms of being receptive to feedback and making changes in the SOPs across the board, just like what we talked about with the struggles that we were having with an SEO team. Like when we come to Lime and say, hey, this is not working for us, we need to make an adjustment or make a change, they are the brain trust that figures out the best way to accomplish that for us and then implement it across the nation.
Are they providing development and, you know, like a coursework or seminars or anything where they get you together, or they don't want the franchisees getting together and having a gripe session?
No. We have a quarterly summit. Yeah. Every quarter we have an annual summit in person every year. We have dedicated franchise business coaches. We have a national director of sales that will actually, like, when we have salespeople that are struggling, they'll, you know, get on a call and say, like, put me in your pocket. I want to hear how this transaction with your customer goes so that I can give you feedback. Like, all of those types of supports are in there and in place, yeah.
What about, like, product development, you know, stuff like that? Is there new stuff coming that keeps it fresh, I guess?
Yeah, and I think, for painting, another benefit of having a national brand is you have some economies of scale in pricing with your suppliers as well, right? Like we were talking about before the show, paint, high quality paints, the types of paints that we use, they're expensive. You know, we're getting ready to start an exterior project in the next week and a half where the consumer cost of paint is $15,000 alone, like just on the supply side. So having some leverage in your negotiations with your suppliers on those types of things certainly help. I wouldn't say that it negates the royalty that gets paid to Lime, but it does provide some value.
Does it also increase the amount of leverage you guys have with those suppliers for warranty purposes? Because if you have a guy you pick up off the street and have him paint your house and he picks up some paint somewhere, and then something happens and the paint starts to peel or something like that, I'm sure that manufacturer, that retailer of the paint is going to say, like, hey, come on, it might have been applied wrong. Did you prep it properly? Whatever. They know that Lime Painting people prepare properly. And they go back, hey, this house is peeling and this thing was $12,000. You know, do you have leverage there?
Yeah, I think we have leverage there. And I'll say this, in 2 years of painting, we've had one warranty claim. We've painted, you know, over 40 houses at this point. So it's not like it's something that happens that frequently. We have tremendous support from the field reps that exist within the territory. So, you know, if I give my Sherwin-Williams guy a call or my Benjamin Moore rep a call and say, hey, I'm having issues, I need some guidance or support, being a franchise and being a large organization, they say, send me the address, I'm on my way. We want to make sure that everything goes smoothly in this transaction. And if it doesn't, then, you know, they will provide support, not only in terms of guidance, but monetary support to say, like, okay, that product and that process didn't work out despite you guys doing what we said you should. We're going to give you your money back for that. Let's find a different product. Let's go try something else and do it again from scratch. And, you know, they assume some of the financial burden for having to redo something like that as well.
Well, and like for a franchise, the benefit and the reason people pay in is it's a head start. Instead of figuring out these SOPs and these processes and making the relationships for yourself, you get like a 10-year or however long Lime's been around head start. But now that you're 2 years in, what's the future vision for you guys?
We have a huge territory in terms of franchising. So we have 2,200 square miles. It's about the size of Connecticut. We work pretty much everything just north of San Antonio. So you have Bernie, Boulevardi, Spring Branch, Canyon Lake. We go west to Fredericksburg. We go north to Marble Falls and Horseshoe Bay. And then we go east back onto the southern half of Austin. And I think one of our biggest struggles is managing sales and projects for such a large geographic area. So like last year, probably 80% of our business occurred just in Bernie, Boulevardi, and Spring Branch, right? Mm-hmm. Because it's close to home. It's easier to manage. We're nearby. It's easier to market to. And we just have a tremendous capacity to move into Fredericksburg, move into Marble Falls and Horseshoe Bay, move into Dripping Springs. Talked about franchises topping out quickly. We're not close to topping out because our difficulty and our struggle is figuring out how to manage such a large area.
Yeah. It's by the way, it's also hard to optimize. I mean, we do search engine optimization for 100 companies. Very hard to optimize a service area that big, mm-hmm. especially that has a bunch of little cities in it. Because you can't. It's not just listing everything on the website. It's there's a lot more to it.
Yeah, yeah, double-edged sword for that as well. Though there's not a lot of paint companies in Marble Falls, Texas, that have strong SEO. That you know, and one of the things that we're looking at, and this is maybe a conversation we could have offline, is there benefit to having pop-up brick and mortar locations in a bunch of these towns? I know that's an SEO tactic that some people say is really effective.
It is effective. So Cooper's Barbecue around Texas, they have 7 locations, and we do the SEO for them. And one of the things we did years ago was start 7 websites because mm-hmm. they do have brick and mortar in each location. So instead of one website, we're drop down, pick, you know, Austin, Fort Worth, et cetera. Each one has their own website. And we customize them in a way that the websites look like the building that they're in. And then we can do local SEO. And they can do local social.
That's slick because, you know, I actually, in my mind, my attraction to a particular brand, when you do have multiple locations on the website, it does take a dip. So having a website that's for a particular area, you don't feel like, oh, well, I'm just going to get lost in the mix mm-hmm. of what's going on there. This is actually for San Antonio or for New Braunfels.
And people like to buy local, yeah. especially mm-hmm. Texans.
Yep.
And I can't tell you how many people come to us, Sharkmatic, and want to do business with us because they're tired of working with somebody that is remote. I'm not talking about overseas. I'm talking about in California, in Florida, or whatever. We need somebody local, like real people,
somebody
where if we want
call.
To, we could meet up, you know, and come to your office. And they like that.
It's one of my most frequent questions we get from homeowners is, where are you guys located? Mm-hmm. And we say we're home services, right? Like we office from our home, but our primary territories are Bernie, Boulevardi, and Spring Branch. Like this is, we're not a San Antonio paint company. We're out here in the hill country with you.
So what are some of the things that you guys obviously had whole careers in other industries and now you're coming into this one? What are you bringing from those careers into being business owners now?
Yeah, so for mine, it's pretty straightforward. I spent my career on-time delivery and quality control, right? Yeah. It's like, what do people care about from a home services industry? I want you to show up on time, and I want you to do good quality work. And that's ultimately what it breaks down to. It's it's a little crazy that like home services, trades, and the painting industry has a black eye for not delivering well on those two things, because that's what people care about, right? Like, when you come out to give me a quote, are you actually going to give me one? It's a frequent question. Like, yes, you will get one by the end of the day tomorrow, right? Like, that's what it looks like doing business with us. Whereas other people, we hear it so often, like, yeah, I had a guy come out to do a quote and I just never heard from him again, right?
Yep.
The craziest one I heard was in a gated community in Blanco, and I went to go meet a client there, and she had a difficult home. You could tell that it was going to be a little problematic getting work done. And she said, I had a guy come out to give me an estimate. He told me he was going to go to his truck to get a tape measure, and he got in and left, just drove off. Right. So those skills, like being able to manage a Gantt chart, right? Like, cause that's
working on one of those.
That's a
morning.
Service flow, right? Like, you go from, you know, initial consult and estimating to agreeing to do business together, to identifying your colors and products and meeting with your suppliers, getting your crew on board and getting everybody out there, managing weather delays, right? Because that happens in the painting industry.
Building in cushion.
Exactly. Yeah. And, you know, part of it for us is being somewhat vague or ambiguous when we tell you we're going to be there. Right. Like, I will say, I think I'll get to your home probably within the next 2 weeks. Right. I don't say, you know,
we're going to start
May 7th. I'm going to start painting your house. That's kind of a recipe for failure, because I don't know what the weather's going to do in the next 2 weeks. So,
wantrepreneurs, are you all listening?
Mm-hmm.
Do what you say you're going to do. Do it on time. Do it on budget.
Under promise, over deliver. Yeah,
right.
Not the other way around.
And do it. And it's so basic, but so many people drop the ball on that. The follow-up. You did the hard work already. You got the lead. You got the appointment. You went and talked to them. Really? You're not going to follow up with a bid?
Communication and project management are two pain points that it's like it makes no sense, but they seem to come up over and over and over again, especially in trades, because it's almost like you get so much business because everybody wants somebody who will just show up and do it, that then you get overwhelmed by the amount of business.
Yeah, and they
you
want
have
neighbors
and
to do it. And that's why the whole Frost Bank campaign, we're from here, you know? Three simple words, and then all of a sudden you feel comfortable doing business with them. Mm-hmm. We're from here. You know, versus some of these big national banks, that the perception is they're not going to care about you. They don't care about your business, et cetera.
So let's talk about the customer journey. So somebody calls you up. They want you to come out, give them an estimate on painting or whatever. Start there and then just walk us through that process of getting the job done.
Yeah. So because of the demographic that we serve and the types of clients that we seek out, it's going to be a very just a white glove type experience, right? So we'll set a date and time for estimate. You'll get a text the night before confirming it. You'll get a text the next day telling you that we're on the way. For the estimate, we will absolutely 100% be there on time. In fact, we actually get there 20 minutes early. The reason that we do that is I don't want to tie up your time while I walk your home and do an assessment of your property. So I'll let you know I'm going to get there early. I'm going to take an assessment. And then as soon as I'm done, we'll convene at the scheduled time and we'll talk through my recommendations, the products, the procedures that we do, and I'll let you know that you'll get an estimate, but usually the same day. At worst, the next business day, you'll have an estimate. It'll be professional. It'll outline all of our procedures, all the products for every substrate. It'll be itemized. There'll be, you know, total transparency in how we plan on approaching it. And the estimate will be the full cost to do everything needed to make your home look beautiful. People frequently ask us, like, well, are you quoting me a single coat? Are you quoting me two coats of paint? Is it going to take a third coat? This is what it takes for your house to look pretty. It's all inclusive. There's no guesswork on, are they going to come back to me later for more money? This is the quote, right? In terms of the production side, so we agree to do business. You want us to work on your home. We set a general date. I let you know about 48 hours before it's the actual time that we're going to be, you know, I'll give you a call and say, hey, we're closing up production on the home that we're working on. We're heading to your place next, so probably within the next 2 days we're going to get there. We let our customers know up front, this is going to take longer than you're probably used to experiencing, because we will spend as much time prepping a home as a lot of paint companies will spend painting a home. We care a whole lot about masking and taping off everything. Everything is protected. We generally spray any substrate that can possibly be sprayed because you get a more professional looking finish when you go that way. After we've completed the work and we close everything up, we walk every substrate with you and personally show you everything that we worked on to ensure that there's, you know, nothing that you're dissatisfied with. You don't think that color came out right. You are worried that we got paint somewhere that it wasn't supposed to. We walk the entire property with you before we close up. And then we have all the guarantees and warranties associated with a premium paint company as well. Our craftsmanship is 90 days. If in the next 3 months you see anything where you go, I just don't like the way that was painted, call us. We come out and we fix it. Products and processes, warranted for a year. Most of the products that we use, and most of what we use is the upper ends of the Sherwin-Williams and Benjamin Moore line, they carry additional warranties that we honor as well. So sometimes they're 10-year warranties, 15-year warranties, limited lifetime warranties. And because we have those relationships with the suppliers, we can actually coordinate handling those warranty claims on your behalf as a homeowner as well.
And Jesse, you and your wife both went into the business, so you all are partnering up. And are you all doing anything else to subsidize income?
My wife still works as a paramedic on an ad hoc basis right now. She likes to work event staffing, so she works like Spurs games, she works concerts. It's kind of a fun way for her to go be supportive of the community and also still hear like a concert that she wants to hear, a stand-up comedian or watch a game or something like that. But we are full-time currently. We both work in line painting, and I handle the operations and a lot of the sales and continuing communication. My wife really likes marketing. She handles most of our marketing strategies, our digital footprint, all that kind of fun stuff.
Awesome. Well, I'm selling franchises to Sharkmatic if you want same colors.
Well, I was going to ask. I mean, I know we about need to wrap up, but is there a certain thing that when you guys are out, customers ask you about that too? Like, you're there to paint, you're there to prep, you're there to do stuff. Do they ask you, oh, do you also do, like, what's a good?
Sheetrock repair, wood repair, those kinds of things, or anything else?
Yeah, so a lot of those trades we do. We'll do sheetrock repair, sheetrock installation, retexturing.
Retexturing could be a big one in this city.
Yeah. simple carpentry. The things that we don't touch that we get asked about most frequently, roofing. Like a lot of times if you have painting concerns, you're also at the point in your home's life where you have roofing concerns as well. And flooring. Mm. Yeah, we don't install or repair interior floors. So those are the ones that we get asked about most frequently.
Gutters?
We do gutters, yeah.
You install them as well?
We install them.
What do you do for, like, off-season? Because there's an off-season for painting, is there not?
A winter, I imagine.
The painting industry as a whole, and I guess this is a useful tidbit for anyone that wants to contract paint services in the future, discounts interior pricing during the winter in order to make sure that you can work through the winter time. I would say it's only, like, in Texas, there's only a really true down period from probably December 15th to January 15th. Because we have exterior weather conducive for painting year-round. I mean, as long as you're above about 50 degrees and it's not raining, you can be painting. Mm. And for us, that's, you know, 330 days a year.
Any tricks to get paint to dry faster indoors if the weather's not good?
Fans.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Any times people have to move out when you guys paint, or do you guys segment off portions of the house and those kinds of things?
It's common for interior. And again, this goes into the types of clients that we service, but because we mask and tape off everything, we will frequently have clients say, hey, I'm just going to go on vacation for 2 weeks, bring all my furniture into the middle of the house, mask everything off, make it beautiful, and we'll see you when we get back. And not everyone has that opportunity, right? Like not every homeowner in San Antonio can say, I'm just going to blow off for the next two weeks and y'all have at it, have fun, let me know how it's going. But that does frequently happen for us on interior.
If somebody's looking to get into, a painting franchise, being that you've been through it, whittled it down, what would you recommend? I imagine having a franchise broker would probably be part of that equation, but what tips would you give them if they're searching out a paint franchise?
Yeah, I would say, one, understand your FDD and your documents really well so that you know. Like you have to be able to quantify your franchisor's expenses as part of your variable costs and quantify what that looks like for your business. So you have to truly understand what that looks like. Two, I would want to know how does the franchisor assist you in generation of leads? Because there is no residual business. So it's a constant sales cycle. You're always looking for new leads, making new consultations with new potential clients, and trying to close tickets in order to keep that pipeline going. And so you need to know that the franchisor is helping fill mm-hmm. that funnel at the same time.
Okay. Good stuff.
All right. Mm-hmm. Well, anything else you wanted to dig into while you're here?
We've no.
covered pretty good wrap. There's a favorite project. I got a note here for a favorite project. Is there a particular project you're like, this is one I got to tell people about?
We painted a home in Bulverde. So I'm a third gen Longhorn. We bleed burn orange. My kids love the Longhorns. We painted an exterior stucco home in Bulverde. We painted it a color called Armagnac. I Googled this, so I don't want people to think that I'm really smart, but Armagnac is a French brandy, right? And I'm not much of a drinker. I'm definitely not much of a French brandy drinker. But Armagnac dries burnt orange. And so we painted somewhat unintentionally a stucco home in Bulverde, the whole thing burnt orange. So if that's your neighbor, you're welcome. Or I'm sorry, yeah. depending on your perspective. But that's definitely my favorite project that we've worked on.
It's just a street of Aggies.
Yeah.
I think they hate that house.
Yeah, it's just Sooners and Aggies in that neighborhood.
I went to UT, and I had a hard time buying a motorcycle that was kind of Aggie-ish color. You know, I was like, oh, do I really want to do this?
See, but it was I'm a good Aggie, deal. But I look really good in burnt orange, so.
I love it.
Sorry.
Yeah. You have my kind of a you.
Well, that's the thing. I have like three shirts in this color because I just look good in it, and I keep finding them. But giggle. Well,
you can go get your MBA. Like Jesse did. Go get your MBA get another MBA at UT.
I had a good friend. He was part of our little cohort that trans. We drove up from San Antonio, and he was an A&M undergrad and a UT MBA. But I think he still.
I've heard
for
it's
the
pretty
IDs.
Cutthroat at the UT Business School. It's not my vibe.
Well, you can always come to Howie's College of Marketing Knowledge.
I will
It's a lot less expensive than
that.
An executive MBA from UT. I looked at the price one time. I'm like, what?
Well, I'm at the point in my life where people tell me they're going back to school to get their MBA, and I just ask them, to what end?
Yeah.
And I Thank just wait.
Thank you for asking that question.
Right.
Because if they tell me anything other than I want to be like an executive in a high-level position at a corporation, I'm like,
yeah,
do you need
the smart answer to that question, I think, is I want to go into consulting.
Yeah.
Right? Like, that's the best path to get an ROI on a truly expensive MBA.
You know, something that, speaking of expansion, you've got a huge area. Are you going to open multiple locations in that area, do you think, in order to... Because, look... San Antonio to Austin is going to continue to grow.
Yeah, so I think the latest city plans have 46 being the third loop of San Antonio. Like, the growth mm-hmm. is expected to be that big. Mm-hmm. Our territory grows in population 11% per year. If you look at, you know, the area that we service. My wife and I have talked about it. You have to be able to find a geography that fits well for those consumers, right? So like there's huge pockets of land that don't have any in demographic customers for our business model. So I think there's places in New Mexico that are opportunities, parts of Florida, maybe parts of Southern California, although there are some bureaucratic barriers to having a paint company in California. Yeah. I don't know that that's wise.
Environmental and
yeah,
political.
I know of a franchisee in a totally different industry. She has five locations in San Antonio and surrounding area, and they went and expanded to Florida. And that they found that that was the next best niche, similar, take all their learnings from here and open up there. And she anticipates that she's going to have more locations in Florida than she, in that part of Florida, than she has in San Antonio and surrounding area.
So. Yeah, because my understanding of franchises is it is that duplication. I mean, it's you're stamping them out. You don't own just one McDonald's. You own five or six or 10 or whatever it is. Is that what you're planning on doing? Or are you just, you got your one and you're going to make a run at it?
I don't know. We need to see if or how long it will take to top it out, right? Like we have a huge northern half of the territory, like Fredericksburg, Johnson City, Horseshoe Bay, Dripping Springs, Driftwood. Lots of nice homes in those areas
really
that
nice
we don't
homes
service.
Those, yeah.
Because we can't even get to it right now. Mm. So
grow.
You know, is that a 2-year growth model, a 5-year growth model? I think we're figuring it out as we go. If we top it out, then I think there's two avenues that you can go in. You can either scale by buying additional territories, and or you can just find other franchises in home services and say, hey, I already have a bunch of customers and a bunch of existing clients in this territory.
Yeah.
What might vertically, open a garage
what
door
vertically integrate?
I'm racking my mind thinking of what monthly recurring revenue service would pair nicely with painting because you're already in high-end homes. Why not add an ancillary monthly service? I'm just trying to think of what that monthly service
would
be.
Pest control is one.
Yeah.
Pest control is a good
paint
one.
Paint that controls pests.
Okay, inventing a whole new product would probably
that, I think
be
that's
harder.
Recurring,
that, yeah, that's a, that exists.
But like, what's a monthly
they have insecticides and mildicides
product
and
that has a pain
anyway,
point
so.
That you're already in a high-end home you could potentially go in and service?
I mean, like wood stains, exterior wood stains have to be maintained every 2 to 5 years in Texas. Just like the nature of our sun and UV exposure breaks those down very quickly. But the industry, at least up until now, has treated it as a new sales opportunity rather than an opportunity to have an ongoing, like, you know, every spring we come out and we restain the wood and this is the...
I would imagine handyman services would pair nicely too. You could maybe do like a quarterly maintenance program for handyman services where they could come in, touch up any paints and deal with any small, like under a certain level like drippy faucets, drywall repair, stuff like that, where they pay
caulking.
In monthly and quarterly they get
the
X number of hours
stuff,
in the service. Oh, yeah, nobody recaulks anything.
The problem
so, like,
with
an annual recaulking
is you have to repaint it.
Oh, whoa. What if it's like you own a painting franchise?
Exactly. It is an opportunity.
Wow. But if they came in quarterly and just did like a couple hours worth of services, so it's like you pay $50 a month, and every quarter you get
it. I actually do that now
with
somebody that I met, and I just every few months I have them come, and I have my whole list. I go, here's all the stuff I need.
I keep telling all the CPAs I know, if I, instead of paying you $3,000 once when it's the worst time of year for me to shell out that money, I could pay you $3,000 over 12 months. Mm-hmm. It would be the exact same service, but I would feel less bad, the subscription model.
Yeah.
So I feel like, with Handyman, you could, you know, just pay us this amount a month and then hire someone to come in. And it's like, you get 3 hours or an hour and a half of Handyman services once a quarter to come take care of little projects. Because I let those little no Handyman wants to come out and do one tiny project. But if 3 months worth of projects, I'm like, you need to fix that dent. Do that.
Oh,
that,
with
that.
Kids, I'm like the sheetrock and this and the bicycle. Why'd you all bring
this
around?
Area? I need my baseboards repainted because they got all scuffed up.
So add adoption services where people can adopt their kids out. The ones that keep ruining all the finishes on things. That might be good.
They're going to go live somewhere else for 6 months.
But I bet those guys that you hire on as painting probably have those exact same skill sets. And if it was like, hey, you want to make a little extra money?
Yeah.
You can do it by, I'm only going to schedule once per house, but like you go at the same time, same date, every quarter they're expecting you and they have a list and you just go and you spend an hour and a half there, like house cleaning, but for honey-do lists, not the honey-do maintenance plan. You just start selling that while you're there.
Right. Well, that's just how thinking goes amongst entrepreneurs.
That's right.
All right, Jesse, if folks want to get in touch with you, how do they do that?
Website, limepainting.com/Texas Hill Country. Mm-hmm. Our phone number, 830-999-2230, or just find me on LinkedIn. We're pretty easy to track down.
All right, they're cool. The ones in the bright green.
Yeah, we're in the margarita truck, so yeah. You see the margarita truck, write down the phone number.
I love it. All right, as we wrap up the show, a quick reminder to check out our latest podcast and catch a video version of the show anytime by visiting our website at satalkradio.com. That's going to be it for this one. You guys have a great week. We'll see you on the next one. Good job, everybody. Thank you.